following takes place between 6 p.m. and 7 p.m.
Hello, and welcome to Tech Access Weekly, a podcast of unspecified length concerning news and events in accessible technology. This is episode 55 for Monday, August 9th, 2010. Jailbreak at your own risk. And hello, everyone. We, as usual, did not give a title for this, so I had to come up with one on the spot.
But what if I want to get out of prison?
Oh, well, you'll have to seriously...
I mean, I can only so many boring conjugal visits here.
Well, thanks. Appreciate that, too. Before we really get started with this podcast, we should let everyone know that our Tech Access Daily Tips has been approved for iTunes.
Which we were a little skeptical of, seeing as how episode 9 is actually showing how to jailbreak the iPhone.
Yes.
And that was the episode that would have been first in the list when they review it.
Yeah.
But it was approved.
It was. I was completely amazed. And actually, if it had been rejected, I was prepared to call it something like Unlocking the iPhone Part 2. Or we discuss the dubious nature of jailbreaking the iPhone, you know, so that it wasn't exactly showing you how to jailbreak the iPhone.
But
in
if
the
you
title,
do,
in the
yeah.
description.
But if you do not know, we are doing a daily tips feed that is anywhere from 1 to 10 minutes demos,
yes.
I guess you would say, or tips, tricks, and tidbits.
Yes, tips, tricks, and tidbits on the high-tech gadgets that make your world, basically. We're doing everything from tips on hardware devices to tips about the computer using various screen readers. Websites. Essentially, a couple of the ones that we have, we are up to number 10 now that have been put on the site. And we have, of course, as we mentioned, jailbreaking the iPhone as one of our tips. We have, for instance, a few useful iPhone tips, like, how to unlock the iPhone is actually one of the tips.
Turning the screen curtain on and off.
Oh, yes, if you're a voiceover user, that's a very handy little feature. Saves battery. Some people say it does, and some people say it doesn't. I found that it does. To turn off the display. Turning speech on and off, which is handy for people if they want to use Braille with voiceover without having to be worried about speech. Examples for a website. We did the JawsUsers.com website, which I believe is our last tip.
Yeah, and it's amazing how people don't even know of that website.
I know. I got put onto it because I was long ago, actually I still am, a member of the JAWS users email list, although I don't read it very much because I just have way too much other stuff to do. But we have, you know, that on there. And then for an example of a computer tip that basically anyone can benefit from, there is a tip on how to create a shortcut and another one on how to use the Windows 7 and Windows Vista search box, as well as some other little surprises that I didn't mention.
Yes.
So my advice, go check out our daily tips feed. You'll find a lot of useful information there, I'm sure, from all over the spectrum.
You can visit the website or go directly to the feed for subscription at bit.ly/TADaily.
Yes.
Or you can find us, as we said, in iTunes as Tech Access Daily Tips.
Yes. A word of caution. If you are looking for us in iBlink Radio, for some reason, we are having problems with our feed and we're not sure why. In iBlink Radio, so you're we didn't put ourselves in there. Somebody else did. So we're hearing third hand that there are some problems with that. Your best bet, if you want to subscribe to our podcast, is to do it either A, through iTunes, or B, through another podcatcher that you can just enter in the URL.
And if you do go to the website, there is a link on the page that is called Download, where you can actually download the application. If you are on your mobile phone, such as the iPhone, and you click on that download link, it will actually load QuickTime. If you're on a PC, it'll load your Windows Media Player, whatever your default player is.
Just to clarify, when he said download the application, he meant download the latest podcast.
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
Whatever. You people know.
But we were talking about iBlink, so it could have been potentially confusing for some
people. Yeah, I've emailed Sarah Talk on Twitter, but I have not heard anything back from that. Last week, they corrected by updating the feed, and he only said that the feed had changed. And truthfully, on our side, the feed had not changed. So I don't know if it's a feed burner thing or what.
So anyway, that's up in the air.
But there's options for getting it, and we encourage you to do so. And please pass the word along for the podcast.
We would welcome listeners of any description, except if you're bots or spammers, of course.
Yes.
And they don't really listen anyway.
And on our website, you can also get the Melting Pot Show from Mushroom FM that you do on Sundays from 7 to 10.
And I'm thinking about starting another show, too, so we'll have to see if that's going to
work. Don't let that out. Somebody else will jump on it.
That's true. Sorry, I won't buggers. Say anything else. Yeah. It's kind of a behind-the-scenes thing right now.
Yeah. If she can fit it into her busy schedule.
Well, anyway, enough about us.
Yes.
We are here to talk about other stuff.
Very much so. We will go into our typical security news.
Yes, exactly.
This coming week on Tuesday is going to be Patch Tuesday from Microsoft.
And they are issuing the largest number of security bulletins ever. 14, I believe.
That was almost Valley Girl.
It was intended to be.
Almost. Not quite.
Not
but
quite,
almost.
But almost. That was what it was intended to be.
We need to get that movie.
They are issuing 14 bulletins, I believe 8 of which are critical.
Eight are critical. 6 of the 34 patches are actually important.
Yes.
Back in, I believe it was February, they released a Patch Tuesday that was 13 bulletins, which held together like 26. So this is a huge one.
Yeah.
It covers everything from current Windows, Windows XP Service Pack 3, Vista, Windows 7, Office 2003, 7, and 10.
Mm-hmm.
Speculation as to whether 10 is even affected. There may be a little goodie or two stuck in there for that.
But right.
10 just recently came out. If you are using Office on the Macintosh, you should also update your Office.
Yes. And just to clarify, it does not fix the zero-day shortcut link file hole thing.
Yeah, because they sent that out last week on Monday. If you are going to update, which you should be, there shouldn't be any question about that. Protect yourself out there. These fixes, apparently there are 7 of them that will require a reboot. It has not been said as to whether you can download all 7 and reboot once or whether it's going to be 1, 2, or 3 times you may have to reboot.
Exactly.
Back in the day, you would try and download like DirectX or something and it would say, oh, well, you can't download this or Internet Explorer with another download. So you had to download it, reboot, then do another look for patches. So,
yeah. Another company that's working with security issues is Apple.
Yes, they are working on a fix for the Safari PDF bug for the iPhone that is allowing for people to jailbreak their iPhones using a web page. In our tip, and we also posted it on Twitter, you can use the jailbreakme.com website to break your iPhone, so to speak. If you do this, you technically invalidate your warranty with Apple, and they are not required to give you any type of support for your iPhone. You can restore your iPhone. It's unclear at this point whether there's any residue left over from restoring from a jailbreak. If you are curious, we are going to release a Tech Access Daily Tips number 15, I believe it is, will be how to restore your iPhone.
Yes.
From start to finish.
Mm-hmm.
It takes about 30 minutes or so.
Right. Some of which we do not include in the tip, by the way. So you're not going to have to listen to us for 30 minutes.
No, we give you the please wait.
Yes.
For a moment or two.
But there are the... How does PDF actually fit into this? Because I'm really not quite certain.
Evidently, there is a way in which you can inject code into a PDF, and if you execute the PDF, it can run something on your computer. Any PDF. And Adobe has patched things like this in Acrobat Reader. Foxit also has plugged a hole for that as well. So Safari is in the process of being patched. There's no word on when this patch will come out. Guesstimates right now are that maybe they'll come out with 4.1 of the iOS 4.
So it's interesting to get other people's takes on jailbreaking the iPhone. One thing you have to be careful of, as Darren Kitchens on Buzz Out Loud pointed out a couple days ago, is that when you jailbreak your iPhone, it's very easy for security maliciousness to come in because everyone's iPhone has the same password.
Yeah, so you're kind of giving root access to your iPhone. So it's unclear as to whether other applications will take advantage mm-hmm. of this or not. There are rogue websites popping up because jailbreakme.com yeah. was being overloaded. So it's one of those things yeah. you do at your own risk.
Let's listen to the Buzz Out Loud team talk about this.
Yes, this is from episode 1284, and it's Darren Kitchens of hack5.org, which is a great podcast on hacking and security things, along with Rafe Needleman, Molly Wood, and
Jason Howell, exactly. I believe. Yeah.
Okay, so it's not actually a vulnerability in Safari. It's actually a vulnerability in the way that it renders PDF files. And basically, when you go to jailbreakme.com, sure, it makes it super easy to, you know, jailbreak your phone and get on Cydia and get all those other cool apps, right? But you are essentially willingly running malicious code. That's how it exploits this. It uses the PDF to do a buffer overflow that puts some special code on your device that allows it to execute some stuff. And basically, this means that, okay, sure, so if you can go to just a website, jailbreakme.com, and it's able to take over your phone, essentially, to do some good, put Cydia on it.
It gets really deep, though, in order to do that, though.
It sure does. Yeah. And it's not like the source is difficult to find. Like, you know, somebody else could do this on any site. So be careful with those PDFs you find. And also, if you do go ahead and jailbreak your phone, remember back in 2009, the iKey virus? Mm-hmm. This was the Rickroll worm for the iPhones. It changed everybody's iPhone wallpaper to Rick Astley.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Hilarious.
This is the same thing. Because what happened was when everybody did that, jailbreak their iPhone, everybody had, or still does now if you do this, has the default root password of Alpine. Mm-hmm. And if you don't change your root password, then, well, you know, you're on the internet. You don't have a firewall. Somebody can just SSH into your phone and have fun with it.
All right,
it's not
so
your
now
phone anymore.
Now that you've said that, how do you actually change? Suppose I do this, just real quickly, how do I change my password?
Sure. Well, you've got Cydia when you do this. So yeah. In that app store, you'll find a terminal application that'll let you go into like the Unix-like prompt on your phone. Mm-hmm. And what you need to do is run the command passwd root, and then you can issue a new password. And please don't make it a dictionary word.
Okay.
That said, in the master.passwd file, you'll notice that in the new hack, there's a new user account called mobile. So not only do you have to change your root user, you have to change this user mobile as well. There's directions over at room362.com.
And so this is like, if you have already run this, if you've already gone to the site and jailbroken your phone using this basically exploit, right, then you need to do those two things.
You need
stat.
To do those two things immediately.
And then
and
also,
the other thing to keep in mind is, the jailbreakme.com site has like the IP addresses of everybody that's gone to it on their device, not on right. their computer, but like since you can do this over the air on your phone, well, that's the public IP address of your phone, and you've now given it to them. And sure, maybe the dev team have no ill intentions, but the dev team are getting slammed. Like people can't.
And probably hack attempted.
Right. Well, the thing is, people are getting like this. There are mirrors now of the Jailbreak Me site because the Jailbreak Me site is getting so slammed
right. mm-hmm.
that it can't stay up, and people are going to these other ones. And there's nothing to say that somebody that comes up with a mirror isn't going to come up with a malicious mirror. This is the same, Jason. Mm-hmm. This is the same thing that we have to keep in mind when we use these homebrew ROMs like Cyanogens or Bugless Beast or whatever it may be on our Android phones. There's nothing to say somebody hasn't baked something more fun in.
That's a good thing to keep in mind because I haven't been keeping that in mind.
Oh, okay.
So you're right, I should.
And we can assume that the Jailbreak Me site, by the way, the web-based jailbreak site, is not going to be effective for long because I suspect that Apple, especially considering that it's creating legions of super insecure iPhones,
They are so insecure.
Apple is
they're thinking about those Android devices, and they're feeling really insecure.
They are. Yeah, right. They don't feel cute anymore.
Can Apple fix this, or does Adobe have to fix this since it's PDF?
Apple can fix
this.
Apple can fix it. It sounds like.
Yeah, how long do you think until they do?
I hope yesterday.
Okay.
Yeah, because it's not just iOS 4 devices. It affects all iPhones, iPod Touches, and iPads running 3.1.2 and higher.
This is
all susceptible to this
no different than a zero-day vulnerability in Windows where it can do like what's called shell execution, where you go to a website and your computer's hijacked. It's the same thing. Yep. It's just that you're willingly doing it because you think it's good.
And everybody thinks it's so cool, yeah.
The way to avoid it for now, by the way, is, well, A, probably don't jailbreak your phone using that website. Sorry. But also don't go to any PDF links directly or load any PDFs from non-trusted sources on your phone.
Right. And if you're going to be that risky
or you do jailbreak,
change your root password. Room362.com has the details on how to get into the terminal and do all that.
Yep.
Yeah, I wanted to include that, and I'm sorry it was a bit long, but it included so much good information that I felt like we needed to include all
that. Well, exactly. So, if you want to subscribe to Buzz Out Loud, which is highly encouraged because it is a great daily show, not quite as good since Tom Merritt left, but still okay, at bol.cnet.com. Mm-hmm. Just in case you want to try that out.
I think it's still really good. I think that if Molly leaves, they're going to be in real trouble.
Well, yeah, and Leo was trying to get both of them to sort of steal the entire Buzz Out Loud, but apparently CNET made her an offer that she could not refuse. Plus, she's with kid and has to take off time and things, and being nearby to home was a plus. But yeah, we jailbroke your phone, did it as a tip number 9. We will release how to restore on tip number 15 coming up Friday.
And just for reference, our phones are no longer jailbroken. We both restored.
No, I didn't really see a point in it.
Yeah, I didn't either. And for those of you who do jailbreak, who are visually impaired, the Cydia app store is like totally inaccessible on your phones, dude. So you need to use what's called Cider to access it through the web, and it was just too geeky for me. I just didn't see much of a point in it, so I didn't have the patience to learn it.
Well, you have to access the store on your computer and then download apps and then physically transfer them to the iPhone, which is just pointless.
I don't care.
We did a tip just because everybody was asking questions about it.
Yeah. Moving from Apple to RIM.
Yes, the RIM BlackBerry phones will soon be banned from Saudi Arabia and the UAE.
And possibly India and possibly Lebanon.
Yes, apparently on August 6th, the UAE said, no more BlackBerries for you. Companies cannot sell them. Companies had to reissue new phones, whether they're iPhones or Android phones, to their customers and employees.
Mm-hmm.
Approximately 700,000 in just Saudi Arabia alone.
And in case any of you don't know, UAE is United Arab Emirates.
Yes, and right now, there hasn't been a confirmation that it was officially banned on August 6th. The reason for this was the fact that RIM was not willing to provide a decryption password for the devices, which they use such high encryption that they do not have a key for it. There's no public key in order to get into a phone, which is why businesses like RIM BlackBerries.
Yeah, and the government wanted to monitor the citizens' emails and other transactions.
Not that they would ever do that or say that they would.
Over there they do.
Well,
they make no secret about the fact that they want to do that over there.
Yeah, but they were not really coming out and saying, well, it's in order to spy on our residents.
I took it as pretty much that they were.
But Secretary of State Hillary Clinton has now jumped into this, saying that they will try to work with RIM and the UAE in order to come up with a solution to these complex issues.
Yeah, because apparently the UAE government is violating citizens' rights to privacy. Now, doesn't she have anything better to do? Because countries' rights to privacy differ from country to country, and isn't this imposing U.S. values onto another government? As much as I might agree with not wanting the government to spy on me, I do not appreciate and would not appreciate someone coming over and enforcing their privacy values on me.
I mean, RIM is a Canadian company, and UAE is Saudi Arabia and the Middle East.
Mm-hmm. And the U.S. is neither Canadian nor, and RIM is a corporation. So I just don't think Secretary of State Hillary Clinton has any business being involved in this whatsoever.
She's probably just upset because she wasn't invited to be on The View the other week with Barack.
Yeah, and doesn't she have anything better to do? Like there's world poverty, world hunger. Illiteracy is like in the world is like over 50% or some astronomical number.
National health care here.
World health.
Yeah, something like that.
I mean, okay, that's my Aaron rant. I should play the Molly rant theme there, but oh well. I have this really.
It just doesn't make a whole lot of sense. There's a lot of other things, but the current, not really saying anything bad or what, but the current administration seems to be more into non-political issues at times.
Yeah, and they seem to be a little more in your face towards other countries. I think the overall value of equality is a good one, but in making other countries, imposing that on other countries just, I'm sorry, doesn't fly with me, well, as much as I might agree with it.
Yeah, they're trying to prove that they're really good at foreign policy, I guess.
Yeah, and the fact, well, never mind. I won't even. I did not mean to make this podcast a political statement. Let's just put it that way and leave it there.
Too late.
So, yeah, well, sorry. oh, dear.
It doesn't really matter because everyone's just friends here, right?
Yeah, we're all just friends here. This is nothing personal towards anybody. It's just our personal views. We're not journalists, so we can put our opinions in here in places.
No, and it's just amusing that the government can pick certain fights to go after, and it just seems so frivolous.
Well, any administration has their frivolities. It's not, this administration isn't any different. Alone in that.
No.
It's just the things that they consider fighting over sometimes just lead me to laugh, but it's the same with any administration, but we have to point them out when we find them.
Yes, very much so.
The Bush administration, God knows, had its own. So, anyway.
We are equal equal opportunity insulters.
Exactly. That's us.
So, if you would like to get on the list to be equally.
Opportunity insulters.
Please let us know.
Yeah.
Now to change completely into a different thing.
A much lighter topic of conversation.
Yes. The National Football League, the NFL, here in the United States, is pondering using microchip technology from a company called Kairosys or something from Germany that is actually able to put a microchip in footballs, or currently they're testing soccer balls in Japan.
This is so awesome.
That will allow them to tell whether or not the ball passes the goal line or such.
That is so cool.
Apparently, it requires that cables be placed on the field in the appropriate places, and then when the ball crosses it, it sends a, I guess, text message type thing to the referee saying goal or no goal. So, in theory, they would be able to put these cables under the ground for football games, where they have the yard markers and goal line and everything like that, and they would be able to say, okay, it was a first down, it wasn't a first down, that kind of thing. It uses technology that would not be impeded by weather conditions, which in the NFL they play in rain, sleet, snow and such.
It's pretty much all weathers for the NFL. That is so cool.
Yeah, so they're testing this in Japan right now at some soccer, which all of you folks over on the other side of the pond call it football. It's just not football. I don't know. It's not.
So they're testing it. Yeah, they're testing it in Japan, and I hope that the referees are provided with the texting plans that have unlimited text messaging capabilities.
that
was
funny.
The first thing that I thought of when I read that article. But it is something that you apparently have been pondering for years.
Well, I had pondered this back in the 90s because they were showing like lasers and things for security systems. I was kind of like, okay, well, in baseball, why not have this type of technology in home plate? And then they can tell whether or not the ball crossed home plate or not when the pitcher is trying to do balls and strikes.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe with baseball, hitting a ball with a microchip in it with a hard wooden bat would not be a good thing.
No.
Granted, I don't know how it's going to be when football players are running along with a football and a linebacker tackles the running back at like so much pressure and speed whether it actually exists.
Has there ever been a football that's burst before? Because if there's been a football that's burst, this microchip might not be such a great idea.
No, but I know that in the past they had tried to put headsets into the football helmet so that the quarterback could communicate with the coach, which mm-hmm. they actually do have now. But in prior years, it was unable to be done because of the hitting. It mm-hmm. would make the helmets jar and then the receiver would be damaged. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if that's going to be impacted with this or not, but mm-hmm. it is something that the NFL is considering.
A brief look, not that there's a segue to this, but net neutrality. And quite frankly, this whole thing is confusing. There's some kind of deal between Google, Sprint, and the FCC somehow got involved, but then maybe, or Verizon.
Well, Google and Verizon.
Verizon. See, I'm confused already.
Well, Google and Verizon supposedly, according to Bloomberg, were talking about packet shaping for wireless networks.
Mm-hmm.
So that if you were on Verizon and you wanted YouTube content, Verizon would be able to say, oh, well, you know, Google, we'll gladly let YouTube content come across faster, mm-hmm. you know, that kind of thing, which is totally in the face of net neutrality, which says that all content should be accessible at right. the same speeds.
Mm-hmm.
You might run into the situations where you have to be on a certain carrier. Oh, come to Verizon because, mm-hmm. well, if you like YouTube, we're going to give you the best speeds for YouTube.
Right.
Don't go to AT&T, you know. This has been some big discussions over the years and kind of one of those things that everybody's been waiting for and hoping it would never happen.
Yeah, and there's, I mean, the FCC is trying to, I guess, make it not happen. But, and Verizon and Google go back and forth on whether there actually are talks going on.
Yeah, they've kind of denied it, and the FCC has called off any types of talks mm-hmm. concerning this. It's frustrating at the same time, but hey, they kind of do the same thing with cable companies
mm-hmm.
to some extent, or they try to anyway.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you may have to have special deals coming up with websites just so that you can get it on your mobile phone.
Facebook is trying to imitate Google and other search engines in sort of a social way. There are search engines whose primary business is to ask questions. Google has Ask.com, or is it Askville they have? There's a couple others
what
all over the board.
What used to be Ask Jeeves, which turned into
Ask.com. Now there's Yahoo Answers, so Yahoo has one of its own. There are a lot of these sorts of Ask-type websites, but Facebook is trying to get users of its services involved in the game. Basically, users can ask questions, and then the questions are public, so they are posted on the Facebook website. They're not anonymous, but users can get there, try and ask their friends the questions and see if their friends answer them.
Yeah, this is something that's in beta, and once it is released, it will be at questions.facebook.com.
Mm-hmm.
Anything you post on that web, on that page, will actually be public to the entire Facebook community. If you want to ask just your friends, you should post it on your wall
right.
instead. The thought is that in terms of like Yahoo Answers, the questions and the answers are a lot of times really stupid mm-hmm. and off topic.
Right.
The thought is that with Facebook, it's linked to actual people and they've got their real names out there. So most likely they're mm-hmm. going to give factual, good information.
Right.
Kind of like if you're looking for a dentist in a particular place or you're relocating, you can ask questions to the community. Hey, I'm going to Denver. Anybody know any good rental places?
Yeah. One thing that struck me as weird about this whole Facebook questions thing, though, is Facebook is not linking the questions to search engines. So if you are using a search engine to find answers to a specific question, the Facebook answers won't come up. And I guess this is so that more than 5 million people in the world will use Facebook for the question
500
capabilities.
500 million.
That's what I just said. Or did
you
I say 400?
Million.
Oh, 500 million people in the world will use Facebook services if they want answers to questions instead of going to search engines.
And it might prove to be very useful, but mm-hmm. You still can't get that content into Google or Bing.
No. Moving on to the e-reader market. E-readers are in a race for development and getting cheaper and cheaper all the time. There is more of a demand for e-readers to be made accessible to the visually impaired.
Yeah, if you hadn't heard, the Kindle, new version of the Kindle came out. The Wi-Fi version is 139, the 3G version is 189, and it's like a 5-inch screen instead of the typical 6-to-7-inch screen.
Right. The Kindle has come out, and but the problem is that even though some of its books are allowed to be read audibly with text-to-speech, they have not made the improvements of making the menus accessible yet. They say they're going to, but haven't set a date.
Yeah, they've been talking for a year about that, haven't they?
Yeah, because there was a lawsuit between the American Council for the Blind, the NFB, and the and several universities around the country. It was basically settled with the universities agreeing to provide textbooks that would be read, would be on devices that did have accessibility improvements to them. I think some were mentioning iPads, some were mentioning they would not use books that were exclusively available on the Kindle. And I'm not sure what the other provisions of the settlement were. But in any event, the Kindle is still far behind, closer than a lot of these other e-readers who don't even have audio output of any sort. But I guess the point of the article that we read was that a lot more needs to be done.
Yeah, we still haven't tried the iBooks on the iPhone yet.
I have.
Oh, did you?
Yes.
Okay.
I tried an iBook on the iPhone. I was very impressed. The pages flipped automatically. I didn't have to do anything. VoiceOver was very responsive with it. The only drawback to the I format of doing things is the iPad and iPhone are pretty much fully accessible, reading by line, character, word, etc., and being able to turn pages and skip over images and things like that. But the price tag is a little steep for both devices. It's a lot. You would have to pay a lot more than if you were going to get your average run-of-the-mill Kindle.
Yeah, and there are rumors that the iPad may come out with a cheaper version next year. In sort of Apple news, the iPod Touch and sort of music players, media players, are rumored to possibly be coming out with a new updated line coming around August 16th. So if you're in the market for an iPod Touch, you might want to hold off on that. But, I mean, iPod Touches you can get for less than $200 to use, which for a visually impaired user who only uses VoiceOver, that may be enough,
right?
You know, to get a 16 gig model of an iPod Touch.
Right.
So the prices are coming down, and most likely the Apple versions will also do that.
The Senate, speaking of accessibility of communication devices, has...
What is 3304?
Oh, it's got a long title. Let's see. The 21st Century Communications and Video Accessibility Law or Bill or something. And it was passed by the House, H.R. 3101, something like that. And this is Senate Bill 3304, which basically is the same thing with a couple little amendments. But what this does is it provides that certain things should be made accessible regarding communications. For example, companies will be authorized to require that networks would be authorized to require that providers put out at least 7 hours of audio described movies on their network each. I don't know whether it was week or month or something. Networks could be required to provide closed captioning for everything. Could be also required to provide alternate like non-visual viewing of emergency contact info, because you notice a lot of networks say, in the event of an emergency, call the emergency number, and yet they don't list the number.
Always love that one.
Yeah, isn't it great? And so another thing that companies will be encouraged, I'm not sure if the word is required is used, but to provide accessible communications equipment that will be used for televisions.
Such as a DVR.
Such as a DVR or a set-top box that speaks or has larger print or a font or whatever. So those are some of a few of the things that would be required if the president signs off on the bill.
Yeah, I think the big one would be the DVR for most people.
Yeah, I think that would be huge.
Because you could actually record those science things. And
yeah, that I love. And I could watch those on my own time without you having to you know, worry about
press
them.
Play.
Exactly. Because they're all on, like, the Science Channel and stuff that the television upstairs doesn't get.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, so that's a huge thing. Another really good thing is that there is a webinar on this bill where people from the Department of Justice and advocacy organizations and everything are going to be getting together on September 2nd from 1:30 to 4 p.m. The link to the site is on the Our Delicious links to discuss this bill and its potential ramifications. And so you can bring your own questions to the webinar and ask them in advance. You can send them in advance so they know what areas they might want to focus on. So that is a very helpful webinar that should shed some light on this bill and actually what all the ramifications are. I will be attending unless I forget, which is quite possible.
Do you know when it is?
Yeah, September 2nd at 1:30. I have to figure out where the website was. I misplaced the link, but that I will figure out. And it is in Our Delicious links for those of you who want to come too. The Department of Justice here in the U.S., speaking of public involvement, is looking for ways in which the web can be governed by the provisions in the ADA. For instance, should certain entities on the web that are already governed by the ADA have their websites comply with internet accessibility guidelines? Should their websites be made fully accessible? And this will apply to entities governed under the ADA who are governed under it already. Should they be required to make their websites fully accessible as they are required to make their other portions of themselves fully accessible, like their buildings that they're in, for example, or hiring of employees, for example.
So basically it'd be government websites like DOJ.gov or something if it wasn't
government
accessible.
Government websites, public organizations, certain big corporations. It's unclear whether this does apply to small businesses or not, but the DOJ is seeking comment for the next few months, and again, that link to that story is on Delicious as well. Yeah, I believe it's to like late January, early February. They're seeking comment.
If Canada can require that websites in their country have English and French translations, then this should be possible.
Yeah. The Society for Human Resources has teamed up with a governmental agency too to provide a resource guide for employers who wish to or need to comply with the ADA and hiring disabled employees, and basically showing employers not necessarily what the guidelines are, but also what the benefits to them would be if they hired a disabled employee, and essentially taking away some of the fear that employers have when considering applicants with disabilities. So that could be a very good site to check out. I haven't actually looked at the entire site yet, but again, the link to that is on Delicious.
Delicious.com/techaccess/55.
Yes.
And I guess there's a workshop audio player that's accessible now.
Yes. A company called Workshop, which is in the UK, which they design websites, both for, I think, accessibility. They make websites accessible, but they also design websites from the ground up. And they have created an audio player, which you can embed on your website, that is fully accessible to visually impaired people. The controls are all labeled, and it's embeddable on your website, and it's free. So that may be something we would want to look into for our site.
Hint, hint.
Hint, hint. Yeah. So I'd encourage you to check that out if you're wanting a Flash player. And I'm not sure what the restrictions are, like if there are restrictions on what kinds of websites it works on or not. But you can go, again, to Delicious, find the link to Workshop, and check out that player. Another website that is made for the use of accessible products is Apple Vis, I don't know how you pronounce it. In this case, this is a privately maintained website whose members are committed to putting together lists of resources, guides, and tips and tricks for Apple's line of touch devices, including iPods, iPads, iPhones, iPod touches, and all of that sort of thing. This is one of my daily tips, so I do talk a little bit about what's there, but if you want to check it out, you can go to applevis.com. This site is not affiliated with Apple in any way, just a bunch of users, including myself, using Apple's touch products who want to provide other users with tips and tricks to using them.
And Apple has also included a new category in iTunes. That is like, what did they call it?
Try before you buy?
Yeah, try before you buy so that you can download demo versions of apps in order to try them.
Yeah.
Google Android has been doing this for a while where you could actually download an app. If you didn't like it, you had 24 hours to ship it back type of thing.
I don't think, though, Apple is quite that extensive. I don't think you can buy and return, but you can try light versions or demo versions beforehand.
Yeah, and then you have to delete them on your
time.
Right. I guess it's sort of a rebuttal to the jailbreaking. People try to jailbreak in order to test apps and view apps that they can't normally do before they buy them. So,
also, in other Apple app news, Shape Services is making its instant messaging client, Flagship, accessible with VoiceOver. It has already done this with its Pro client, but is almost ready to do it for its Lite client. So if any of you want to use Flagship for instant messaging, I haven't tried any instant messaging apps on the iPhone yet. It will soon, the free version or light version will soon be made accessible. I don't know if there's a demo in the App Store of the Pro version, but the fact that this already has a light makes me think that there probably isn't a try before you buy demo.
Definitely worth checking out.
Yeah, definitely. And there is no word, I don't think, on when the VoiceOver will be added to the light version, but it shouldn't be long. For those of you wanting to try a new instant message app.
So I guess you could download it, add it to your iPhone, and then just wait for an update.
Right.
If it's not the current accessible version.
Right. What were you thinking? A man is facing possible, well, probable jail time after filming his traffic stop and putting it on YouTube.
Yeah, it's kind of a crazy thing. The guy was speeding on his motorcycle. A police officer for the highway patrol pulled him up, forced him off the road to the side of the road in an unmarked car. Watch the video. He got out of his car, and it was about 15, 20 seconds before he actually announced that he was with the highway patrol. Got out with his gun drawn, not in uniform, unmarked car. I mean,
hello.
I don't know what this guy was thinking. It seems like he was more in the wrong than the actual motorcyclist.
Right, but apparently this motorcyclist is facing arrest for violating wiretapping restrictions.
Now, yeah, it's kind of crazy.
Well, how was the guy supposed to know he was a cop? Unmarked car, waving his gun around, no badge. Oh, by the way, I'm from the highway patrol. He's already filming, so it's not like he can stop quickly enough.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know.
But the article that we had found on this said that, well, TV shows are hit shows because of this, the cops and such.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but I guess you're not supposed to film it if you're a private citizen.
I guess not. Hmm.
But I guess he's facing about 18 years in prison for this. Speculation is that it'll be thrown out.
I hope so. Well, so that's it today, folks. I didn't mean to go into a political rant. I apologize for that, sort of. Yeah, well, for being on the podcast and doing it,
I apologize. It had to be said. We're not coming out with a TA political.
No, that's
we're not
true.
Coming out with TAP Weekly.
No, but all I meant was we're not making a habit of it.
No.
So, anyway.
Not quite.
No.
But if you have not downloaded it, you can check out episode 54, which we had with Pratik Patel. Woohoo! I got it right.
You got it right this time. Yay!
Hot diggity. Where he talked about the NFB and ACB conventions of this year. A lot of good responses from that episode.
Yeah, and it was very well done on his part. He had himself prepared. And
he thought he was horrible.
He thought he was horrible, fine. And I was terrified, so I guess it goes both ways. This is our first interview, and I was like, ah! But it worked out really well, went very smoothly, and I would encourage any of you who are curious about those conventions and what went on there to check it out.
Definitely a lot of info,
mm-hmm.
all the way from traveling to what happens at the convention.
Right, and it is a little long, but it's well worth a listen.
Exactly.
So, on that note, my friends and neighbors, we will leave you until next time.
Yes, this mess you have been listening to is Tech Access Weekly from TechAccessWeekly.com.
And please feel free to check out our tips.
Yes.
Tipses and trickses.
As they are growing, and if you have any suggestions for tips that you think people would really enjoy hearing, please let us know and we'll add it to the feed.
Absolutely, because we don't know everything. And I will wrap up by saying, if you have not already done so, we would encourage you to fill out our PodTrack survey.
Yes. Gives us an anonymous feel of who you are and such.
Exactly.
Anyway.
So we'll talk with you all later.
Bye-bye.
Bye. To contact the team for Tech Access Weekly, send an email to techaccessweekly@gmail.com. You may follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/TA_weekly. You may comment on our voice line at 260-2-ASK-TAW, 260-227-5829. To find a list of the stories covered in each episode, please visit delicious.com/techaccess. Feel free to visit our website at techaccessweekly.com.